Today is Religious Liberty Day. And when I was a boy going to school, or at in my home church, and I hear about religious liberty, I had a lot of feelings about it. And I believe that it would be a very boring sermon. But I promise you I won't bore you today. And if you feel bored, just raise your hand. But I want to say to you that we are living in a wonderful country. I want you to talk back to me. As challenging as it is here, we choose to be here than anywhere else. Is that right? And I thank God for the opportunity to be here. I thank God for that. I notice that there are some of friends that I knew a long time ago are still here. When I came in, one of the first persons I asked about is Sister Anderson. Because Sister Anderson used to sit right there. And so she moved over there. And I said, oh, Sister Anderson, move her seat. It is good to see Sister Anderson is still going strong. Brother Campbell, God bless your heart. You are a committed, faithful man. You have been doing this a long time. And God bless you. And I welcome all those who are listening, wherever they are today. As we talk about the topic, moving forward. And I want to do that with three nouns. Moving forward in liberty. Moving forward in religion, moving forward in Christianity. Our scripture reading was amply read by our dear brother, but I want to take you to another scripture in James chapter 1. What did I say? James chapter 1. And we're going to read a few verses there. Starting from verse 25 of James chapter 1. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious. Seems to be what? Seems to be religious. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Verse 27. Pure religion. What religion? Come on, say it. What is it? It is pure religion. So if we have pure religion, it means that there are religion that are... Are you walking with me? Pure religion. Undefiled. So there are religions that are defiled. And it says that every religion that is pure, every religion that is undefiled before God, that religion will do certain things, have certain characteristics. One, they will visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Bow your head with me. Father, as I open now your words, touch this lump of clay, and grant that these lips will bring forth the message that you have for us in Jesus' name. Liberty. What does that mean? And in order to create the basis to what we are going to discuss today, I'm going to define the word liberty, religion, and Christian. Liberty, which means the state of being free within society, free from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority, or one's way of life, or his behavior, by any political person. Liberty, the state of not being imprisoned and enslaved. Liberty, which is the right and privilege to express yourself as you choose. Liberty, the power or scope to act as one pleases, to enjoy the liberty to pursue your own interests and preference. Liberty. Liberty is not free. In order to be free, in order to be liberated, in order to talk about liberty, somebody must make a sacrifice. Somebody must give up something. Liberty calls for sacrifice. Somebody needs to say no when it should be no. Liberty. Somebody must say yes when it should be yes. Liberty calls for responsibility. And here in this country, we talk about being free. But we should use this liberty to our advantage and to advance what God has called us to do. How should I use my liberty? I should use my liberty to witness. I should use my liberty to witness. I should use my liberty to witness.
I should use my liberty to witness. As a boy, my pastor taught me that in heaven there will be no starless crown. Do you remember that? I asked him what he meant by that. And he said to me that in Revelation we are told that the redeemed will be wearing a crown, and on that crown will be stars. And then he continued, every star represents the soul that you have influenced to accept Jesus as a Savior. The songwriter reminds us, will there be any stars? Any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in those mansions of rest, will there be any star in my crown? Let me say this to Victory today. You are called in the church at this time not to sit and warm the benches, but we are called to witness. We are called to tell men and women that there is a Jesus who loves you, that there is a Jesus who wants to save you. There is a Jesus who can deliver you. There is a Jesus who can make things better. There is a Jesus who can deliver you from depression. You need to tell somebody that there is a Jesus that can cause you not to jump over the bridge. Too many people are taking their lives. Too many people are going down in Christless graves, not having hope to know that there is a Jesus who can give hope. Because any man who lived these days without Jesus is crippled with distress. I want to remind you that the time to witness is now. I wish some of us would witness in church. I need some witnesses in God's church. I need some witnesses when they make a phone call rather than gossiping to witness. I need some witnesses in God's church who will witness on Facebook rather than putting up pictures of themselves. They put up picture of Jesus Christ and his goodness. I want some witnesses who will call the brother, the sister out there and tell them that Jesus saves rather than gossiping about. I need some witnesses who will witness through the cold and snow. We talk about Jehovah Witnesses. Some of us close the door on them. But oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I see them in the cold. I see them in the snow. I see them when it's hot. I see them by the wayside witnessing. Did you know that one of the fastest growing churches in America today is the Jehovah Witnesses? Could you imagine if all Adventists take up the mantle of telling men that Jesus saves. Could you imagine? There would be no place in victory to hold those who will come to find hope. Because this is a time when people need hope. We need to witness. I love this song. I've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. We need to witness that salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Use your liberty to be engaged in witnessing. Let me say this, that witnessing is not only a responsibility for the pastor. Are you hearing me out there? The Lord called the pastor to be the leader of his flock. Are you hearing me out there? The pastor lead sheep. Hello? And there are two types of people. This is not in my note, but it just came to my mind. God says, say it. Two big type of people in the church today. You have the sheep. And you have the what? And the goats. The pastor is a shepherd. And shepherd sheep. That's why I tell every pastor, if there are people in the church who want to join the goat, let them stay. Continue pastoring the sheep. Because, you know, in the church today, there are many distractors. You know what I'm talking about? Try to distract the pastor from what is right. But let me say this to you. It is the responsibility of every member of the church to witness. And religious liberty is to give us the opportunity to remind us that, listen, time is running out, and the time that we must witness must be now, because the time is going to come when you will not be able to do it. Another way you should use your liberty. Use your liberty to be engaged in politics. Oh, now, I am going to lose some people here. Because Adventists believe that you must not be in politics. Because, you know what? Hey, you know what? Politics is no good. And so no Christian should be in politics. But let me tell you something. Listen to me well today. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if you read the book of Nehemiah, are you walking with me? If you read the book of Nehemiah, you will realize that Nehemiah could not rebuild Jerusalem if Nehemiah was not with the politician. Let me tell you this. The laws that are going to protect this church, the laws that are going to protect our worship, are not going to be made by the General Conference. Are you hearing me out there? The General Conference will not make the laws to protect you to worship on Sabbath. All they can do is to pray. But it is the politicians who are going to make the law. So if you, as Christians, don't get involved. And listen to me. There are some Adventists and there are some of us black people who do not vote. Say, hey, I shouldn't vote. This is Religious Liberty Day. I'm going to tell you something. That every one of you should take yourself out on election day and vote. Because listen to me, church. We are living in serious times. And who is chosen to lead this country will decide how free you are. Get up and vote. Vote, not your emotion. And you know, I know a lot of you listen to me now. I listen to them. Oh, maybe he's talking voting against Trump. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. You know, Satan is so subtle. Let me just pause a while to tell you how Satan is subtle. Listen to this. As Adventists, we have been preaching that one of the things that government going to do is to pass the National Sunday Law. Is that what we have been saying? But you know what? Before man sinned, listen to this. Before man sinned, there are two institutions that God established. Walk with me. And these two institutions are what the devil is going to use to attack us. Yes, Sunday law will pass. Yes, listen to this. Sunday law will pass. But the devil is subtle. He keep our eyes on Sunday law so that we don't see the most dangerous threat to us. And the threat is, listen to me, the threat is with the family. Listen to this. The threat is with the family. And if Satan can get in that White House, someone who does not uphold the principles of the Bible. Are you hearing me out? Those people will pass laws that will put this church at risk. It will put the church in a position where you can't say no. Because if you say no, you will be sued. Or you can close down. Are you hearing me out there? So Satan is taking our eyes off the family issue and putting it on Sunday law. And something is coming upon us and we don't even see it. Listen to me, church. Wake up. So when you go vote, don't go there and say, I'm going to vote against Trump. Or I'm going to vote for him. What you should do is vote conscience. Vote for your standard. Vote for your principle. Vote for what your church stands for. Go vote for what God stands for. And if you vote that way, God will take over. All right. Now, I'm just halfway through my sermon. And so listen, what happened in politics will affect the church. Let me say this. Deporting undocumented people affects the church. Because in every church, there are people who do not have the right documentation. In everywhere. And they are people who are supporting the church. And so, when laws are passed to deport these people, victory suffer. Because the tithe and offering go down. Families suffer. So that's the reason why you must vote. This religious liberty day, you must vote. Satan. The only way to influence and control politics is to be involved. When you do not vote, you are leaving the devil to do what he wants. The Bible says in James chapter 1, 25, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, to be free, you have to live up to standard. To be free, you have to live up to principle. Being free does not mean you do everything you want to do. God warns that all of us, that he was willing, he will bring everything we do in judgment, whether it be good or evil. As a boy, I learned in Sabbath school, be careful, little hand, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For there's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Even though we have liberty, we must know how we deal with one another. Because what we sow, we shall reap. And if you don't reap it, your children gonna reap it. And listen to me, brothers and sisters, you have grandchildren, you have children. Make sure that how you live with people today, that it will bring a blessing to your children. Many young people have left the church because of the liberty of some members. The actions of some, many have given up the name of the church because some people believe they are at liberty to talk whatever they want to talk. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, only a fool talks everything in his own mind. We cannot say everything we want to say. We must keep some. And that's why some people get in problems in the workplace, because they talk too much. And so our liberty is freedom with responsibility. Freedom with responsibility. My next word, religion. Someone who is very conscientious. somebody who is diligent in religious practice. Religion is good. Religion, actually, I'm in social work field, and we don't ask anyone what church you go, because that would not be politically correct. So we ask them, are you spiritual? And so many people say, yes, I'm spiritual. But what does that mean? The word speaks of a belief, an expression of faith. We are devoted in public worship. We are consistent in prayer. We do good deeds. But being religious is not enough. Let me continue to say this. That the Bible, then, places a dichotomy between pure religion and impure religion. And this Liberty Day, we need to know the difference. There are about 5 texts in the Bible that talks about religion in the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 26 and verse 5, it says that religious people, people of religion, they have what they call an obsessive compulsion to do things. The Bible says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest set of our religion, I live a Pharisee. The people who belong to a religion that is not pure is very, very strict. And the Bible says that they are a set. Everything has to be done exactly what they think. Everything has to be the way it is. They have this religious obsessive compulsion to say that if things go deviate from how they perceive it, then they become angry and then they become vexed. Do you have those people in church? Because this is how we do things around here. This is how the church runs. You are coming in as a new member. You don't know anything. So what do? You sit down and you learn how we do things around here. Those are people who are possessed with religion. Possessed with religion. God wants us to be people of principle. God wants us to be people of standard. Because some people have no standard. Anything goes. And everything should not go in God's church. The truth is, the less you associate with some people, the more your life will improve. And people who try to be so strict and can't bend will not be a good influence to people to come in church. Now, we talk about religious liberty. The freedom to do what you want. Every person here in this church, you are free to sit and listen to this preacher, or you are free to leave. Is that right? That's your freedom. Every one of you, you are free to come to church today, and you are free to go someplace else at Macy's and shop. You're free. But your freedom to do this. And because I am free to do what I want to do, we should be accommodative to people when they choose what they want to do. You know the problem in the church today is that we want to be boss. We just want to be in control. They want to control the elder. They want to control the pastor. They want to control the superintendent. They want to control this person. And when they can't control, then they get vexed and leave. Now, you don't have that here in Victory. So let me stop talking. Let me stop talking. Religious people, listen to me. Religious people are those who give the pastor and the church a lot of trouble. Because all they have is religion. But I want to say to you, as a church, you must be able to make the right choice. Listen to me. If Sister Brown, I hope there's no Sister Brown here. It's not that Sister Yellow. Sister Yellow. All right, Sister Yellow, you give me that. All right, if Sister Yellow decides that things don't suit her in Victory, and she decide to leave, let me tell you something. You are a good friend of Sister Yellow. You love Sister Yellow. You pray for Sister Yellow. But if Sister Yellow believes that things are too bad here and he wants to leave, let Sister Yellow go. But you know what? You stay. Because anywhere you go, you're going to have a problem. Anywhere you go, you're going to have a difficulty. The problem is not the church. The problem is, so let the problem go. You know, and this now, I want to say, as I talk about my topic moving forward, the church needs to know that there are some people they just can't hold on to. Because if you hold on to them, it's going to be too much chaos. And you know something? If we're a praying church, God knows how to sift. And God knows how to remove. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to say, we used to sing a song, if there's a brother in the church and he's just not doing right, and then move on. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. God wants us to understand the people. And even though we have our standard, if it is not the standard of God, we should not impose it on others. False religion. They're always persecutory. Persecute with their tongue. Persecute with their action. Persecute with their meanness, persecute with their hate,
persecute with their resentment. And you find it in God's church. But praise God, I want you to know that whatever situation you are in, whatever category you are in, Jesus loves you and he can save you. And then there are some who are exceedingly zealous. The Bible says in Galatians 1 and verse 14, and profited in the Jewish religion are among many, may equals in your own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the Father. And now let me say this to you. You must never put tradition over principle. What the Bible says. Are you hearing me out there? We have two wonderful guides in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. And when we hold them together, and when we as people study them together, we will become stalwart in God's church. I want to tell you this. Impure religion fails to control the tongue. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Some people just talk too much. Don't receive counsel from unproductive people. Never discuss your problem with someone incapable of contributing to the solution. Because those who never succeed themselves cannot teach you how to succeed. People talk too much. Many marriages are broken up because of people who talk. Many friendships are broken up because of people who talk. In the church, we talk too much. Praise God, not victory. But I've been some other places where people just talk. And so, pure religion, James 1. And verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted before God. Pure religion is manifest when we are a part of the answer and not. Pure religion is manifest when we have a plan and we don't always have an excuse. Pure religion says, let me do it for you. And doesn't say, that's not my job. Pure religion says, sees an answer in every problem. And does not see a problem in every answer. Pure religion says, it may be difficult, but possible. It does not say, it's possible, but it's too difficult. You will not grow spiritually if you associate with some people. Your friends will stretch your vision, or they will choke your dreams. On this day of religious liberty, you must make the choice to be with people who will help you to grow. Be with people who will help you to fly. If you mingle with chickens, you will always scratch in the ground. But if you keep company with eagles, you will learn to soar above the heights. Ladies and gentlemen, Church of God, we have come to a time when we must move forward from what happened behind. Many of us are stuck. We can't move forward. Sister so-and-so did me something. Oh, she did it 20 years ago. But you are still stuck.
You just can't move. Every time you see Sister Soul, you have that enmity against you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to move on. We need to move on. Many of us are stuck with the slavish mentality. And because we are stuck, we cannot move on. We are stuck hating those who are different from us. Those who are different color from us. We are stuck saying what they have done to us. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. This is America. You can make whatever you want of your life. Don't be stuck on what forefathers did. You must move on with the power of the Almighty God. Many of us are stuck. Today, we need to be freed. And the only way to be free is to become a Christian. I want you to pray for me. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. If there's anybody today who is stuck only in religion, I want you to move forward to Christianity. Listen to me today. Religion will not save you. You will be saved because you have a connection with Jesus Christ. You will be saved only when you say, God, I am a sinner. I want you to take me in my ragged, no good, dirty self. I want you to take this rag from me. And I want you to make me into what I should be. Today, you may be stuck. But I'm here to tell you that there is hope. You can make it. You can be free. Some people are stuck in keeping malice. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, deliver somebody today. And I remember that one day, all these things will be done. One day, this world will come to an end. One day, there'll be no more taxes to pay. One day, no more need for immigration papers. One day, God's people shall be free. One day, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no coronavirus. There'll be no flu. There'll be no more headache. But praise God, his people shall be free in his kingdom. I want you to know today, religious liberty is to remind you about this eternal freedom. When there be no more death, no more pain, no more sickness, all those loved ones who have gone before, separated from us, there be no more. One day soon, God shall say, it is done. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. Then God, the Father, for the first time, shall step away from his throne. Jesus Christ, our intercessor, will finally move up to the Father and said, Father, what is your command? And then God the Father shall say to Jesus, Jesus, go to planet Earth and gather my people home. And then Jesus, I love it as my favorite author puts it. Jesus, along with 2/3 of the angel, shall descend from the gates of heaven. And as Jesus moved through the starry heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars shall say, right on, King Jesus. And as he moved to the heavens, down to the atmospheric heaven, then the saints of God shall see a little cloud. And somebody says, as that cloud comes nearer to earth, it shall become bigger and bigger and bigger and wider and more brilliant and beautiful. And then the saints of God, who have been locked away in their prison cells, locked away in their caves, those who could not worship God because of persecution, they shall look up and recognize that the day of liberty has come. The day when Jesus Christ shall deliver his people from earth to glory. The day has finally come. And then they shall say, Hail, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. And then Jesus Christ shall say to Gabriel, 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 I want you to blow the trumpet. And then Gabriel will put one foot on the mountain and the other on the sea and shall blow the trumpet. And as Gabriel blow the trumpet, praise God, all those who are dead in Christ shall rise again. I shall see people like Brother Francis from Victory. I shall see Brother Clark from Victory. We shall see our loved ones coming out of the grave, popping up to meet Jesus Christ. And when they look, they shall behold his face. And out of the blue, we shall be caught up. We shall be caught up. Some of us have never been in an airplane all our lives, but we shall be caught up. We just can't help it. And all those who are dead will be caught up with us. And praise God. I shall move through the atmospheric heaven to the starry heavens. But somebody here who has never kept the Sabbath, you're going to keep the first Sabbath before you go into that kingdom. And that Sabbath morning, it is going to be Jesus who's going to preach. It is not going to be Campbell, but Jesus Christ who is going to utter that first sermon of welcome to his people. And then, after that Sabbath, we shall continue our journey to the kingdom.
And when we reach the kingdom, hallelujah, when we reach the pearly gates, Jesus shall step forth and say, open the gates that the righteous may enter in. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to me today. Listen to me today. All those of us who have been faithful to God, who have lived up to His principle and His standard, shall have the privilege of walking for the first time on streets of gold. I want to tell you this. I must be there. Even if I'm the last person and the back of my coat just miss being caught in the gate. But I'm in. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I made it by His grace. Listen to me, church. I want to be in that farewell, in that great liberation day. Do you want to be there? If you want to be there, say yes. I keep you too long. Stand with me, everybody. Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, in that great get up morning, give us the blessing to be there. That day when you shall come, it will be a great religious liberty day when you shall welcome us in your home. If there's anyone here today who God have not yet accepted you as Savior, I beg you to let that person do so. Because it may be the last sermon that someone is hearing. Oh God, preserve your people for the end.